Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GAC GNSO Consultation Group call on the 10th of March 2015. On the call today, we have Olga Cavalli, Carlos Gutierrez, Avi Doria, Amel Sadeh, Mason Cole, and Jonathan Robinson. We received apologies from Manal Ismail and Suzanne Riddell. From staff, we have Marika Koenig, Olaf Nordling, Karin Percé, Glenda Saint-Géry, Julie Charvolin, and myself, Matthew Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Natalie. So that, I think, concludes at least the roll call part of item one. I'll take the opportunity from the chair to welcome you all here, including in particular, I think Olga is a new joiner to this group, so it's great to have you here, Olga. And actually that leads us neatly into item two, which is a membership update. So it would be good to get an update. Nominally, the membership is as listed up on the right of your screen where it says Agenda and Notes. So you've got myself, David Cake, Vice Chair of the GNSO Council, and then Amma, Brian, Avery, Carlos as councillors, and Mason in his capacity as GNSO liaison to the GAC. From the GAC, we have nominally Manal, Suzanne, Anna, Mark, Gemma, and now Olga. Has anyone got any update as to whether any of the people listed are no longer expecting to participate?
This is Olaf here, and I think the only I would like to send a reminder to Gemma. The others have been on or recently, or more or less recently, and well, may have problems joining for various reasons, but I've no indication of anybody, well, explicitly saying that they want to leave the group from the GAC side. So I take an action point in reminding Emma, because she hasn't been on for quite some time.
Thanks. That will be helpful, please, Olaf. And if we can determine whether she has an interest in actively participating. Frankly, I don't think it would do any harm to send a reminder to all. And then you might want to send, in addition to Gemma, just to highlight to her if she has been particularly absent over the last, say, six meetings or something. But I think it's no harm in reminding everyone that they are not obliged, and we would like to have regular participation. And I think it would be useful to do the same for the GNSO team. I don't think it would do any harm to, I think we should perhaps even record, I don't know how easy it is to do, but it would be good to show people a record of attendance, say, during calendar year 2015, and just highlight that if there is any problem with regular participation, they are welcome, any member is welcome to step aside and invite someone else to participate. And the related issue there is that it would be is to discuss whether or not we have sufficient membership here with approximately six and six on either side. Before we go into that, let me respond to your handing up, Avery.
Yeah, thank you, Avery speaking. And even before you got to talking about attendance, I stuck my hand up. I just want to point out that I have had myself on the willing to be replaced anytime. I have terrible attendance, and we have three NCSGs on this. So looking at it sort of at a distance, I basically think that at least one of us should be replaced. I think I have the worst attendance, And I just wanted to bring that up again. So if we've got some mechanism in the GNS, once or twice I've put out the, hey, I'm on this, I think there's too many NCSG people, I should be replaced. And many voices would say, oh, I might be willing, oh, and then all of a sudden there was a decision procedure I couldn't do on my own. So it's I think it's good that you brought this up. I think, you know, it might be worth going back to the GNSO council and sort of, you know, talking about the breakdown and the distribution of members and so on. So I keep coming insofar as I can schedule it. I know I've been bad. I probably have some of the worst attendance in the group. And I just want to put that on the table. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. And I've also had difficulties attending at times for a variety of reasons. So the intention is not to embarrass anyone, but just to flag it up and remind people that, you know, that it's not an obligation to be here. And your point is well taken, that if we can find someone else who is willing and able and perhaps not necessarily a member of NCSG, we should be open to doing so. So thanks for that. All right, let's move on then to review the meeting in Singapore and the current, in a sense, the current status. I guess from the, with regard to the meeting in Singapore, there was a presentation to the GAC and a discussion with the GAC in particular in the GAC GNSO meeting. So I guess arguably it was a presentation to both. There was substantial discussion and some feedback on that, so that was useful. And as a consequence, and you will see from the GAC communique, there was support to go ahead for a trial period as intended. And similarly, that same point was voted on, if memory serves me correctly, in the first council meeting post-Singapore. Could someone remind me? I think the council also agreed to do that, or is it yet on our agenda? Yeah, it's coming up on our agenda as we speak. So formally, in the formal sense, the council has not yet voted to support the trial period, but I don't anticipate any issues with that motion at this stage. Are there any other comments or questions in relation to what happened, what took place in Singapore under item under item three of this agenda? I guess in terms of recording what is to happen, it's clearly that we've got the GAC, or what has happened, we've got the GAC communique, and what is to happen, we've got the motion on the agenda for the forthcoming council meeting. That's week commencing 16th. Go ahead, Amma.
Thanks, Jonathan. I do have a comment, although I'm not exactly sure if it's pertinent to this point or to the next one in reviewing this group's draft working plan and the way forward. The documents Marika sent or Manel sent on behalf of Marika was very helpful in sort of just collecting everything and taking a look at where we are and where we feel we need to go. One thing that struck me in the document is agreeing on a follow-up mechanism and success measures, and I brought something up recently on the council list to that effect in response to the motion that we are scheduled to vote on in the next council meeting to approve this pilot. I do sort of have a question. I have every intent of supporting the motion. I might as well just say that up front. I hope the quick look mechanism pilot works out to both groups' satisfaction. In terms of success measures, I did send a note regarding that. And I think the success measures from the GNSO perspective, in accordance with the way the motion is worded, is a bit limited. And I don't mind that. We'll measure success according to how well the quick look mechanism works on three PDPs, assuming the motion will pass. And I also assume that there will be no difficulty in passing this motion. However, for this group, I'm wondering if we need to take a bit of a wider look at what these success measures may be. I don't think it's enough to just evaluate the quick look mechanism once it's in place and how well it serves the GAC in early engagement in GNSO processes. But I think it's also important to take a look at the process within the GAC itself and how well the GAC sort of adopts it. And whether and if there are, for example, attempts at launching a quick look mechanism in response to a PDP, but for one reason or another, the GAC fails to do so because the process maybe proves difficult for any reason. So I think this is something this group should probably take a look at and also consider in assessing to what extent this pilot is successful or not. Thanks.
Summer, if I hear you correctly, I hear a question over what are the success criteria, and then there's a second point is who will monitor those, and I think you're suggesting that this group undertakes the work to develop those success criteria. I'm not 100% clear who would then proceed to monitor those, and maybe that's something we still need to discuss, but
Jonathan Strommer, again, if I may clarify.
Go ahead.
I think the success measures from the GNSO Council perspective are already set. So the GNSO Council will probably measure the success of the quick look mechanism from in accordance to the motion that we will vote on at the next council meeting. However, on this group, I am suggesting a wider sort of scope in measuring to what extent this pilot is successful or not. So yes, we should also, I think both groups should probably assess the success measures, but I think this one should also look at the process within the GAC, and we can do that with the help of our GAC colleagues, and just sort of noting any difficulties within the GAC and actually getting a quick look mechanism up and going. Thanks.
Thanks, Summer. That's helpful. Olga?
Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you all for having me in the group and for the welcoming messages. They are very encouraging. And I think this is a great idea. I always thought that an early interaction in between the GAC and the GNSO is crucial for the success of any policy that is developed. I think, and I agree with Amrum, but I would add, I don't know how this can be measured, but the challenge for the members of the GAC and the GNSO in this group is to bring the issues that we discuss in the group to all the different group of interest into the GAC and into the GNSO. The GNSO has its constituencies, which are different, which have different perspectives, and also the GAC has different countries and different perspectives, developed countries, developing countries, countries that participate actively, countries that don't. So the challenge of us that we are, I'm talking as a GAC representative, the challenge for the GAC representatives in this group is once we see something that it's impacting some of our GAC colleagues that perhaps are not so active, that we try to engage with them and try to show them what is going on. But sometimes in a large group like the GAC, that is challenging. So for us, that is a success. I don't know how to measure that, but that would be a success item to have in mind. And as for the GNSO, and I have been 4 years a GNSO council member, so I've been there. The different constituencies also sometimes have a different perspective about what the GAC could think about something or how to interact with the GAC. So I think that one of the success that we may achieve is reaching out to those interested in whichever policy development is being done.
Thanks, Olga. Did you want to respond to that, Amma?
Yes, thank you, Jonathan, and thank you very much, Olga. I think that's a very good example of what this group should be looking at. Because my impression from the GNSO, and please anyone can correct me if I'm mistaken in this, is that we're specifically going to be looking at, after three cycles of a quick look mechanism process are done, we're going to look at how well that facilitates GAC early engagement in a PDP process. What I am suggesting this group does is not only look at these three scenario, these three on the sort of test cases, but also look at attempts by the GAC to launch quick look mechanisms that perhaps for one reason or another fail, such as the needed outreach to the different GAC members or any other reason that may come up that we haven't foreseen at this point. So that is, I think what Olga described is very much in line with what I am suggesting we include in our own success measures within this group. Thanks.
Okay, judging by the comments and then the check mark on it from Olga in response to you, it seems like you are in agreement. It feels to me like we need some form of action, and the action will be to produce a record of this that lays out these CESS criteria. Does that feel right? And Amma, are you willing to help with this and sort of lead such an effort? Great. And it sounds like you may have Carlos helping you as well. So perhaps a little group of you, Amma, Carlos, Olga, perhaps can develop a sort of matrix or map of success criteria. Olga?
Yes, I can help, of course. Count on me. There's a lot going on, but I'm always happy to help.
Okay, good. Well, that was a useful introduction into the sort of review of the draft work plan and the way forward. Now, as you all know, we had, and Marika has very helpfully summarized the sort of goal and objectives and deliverables that we had set out for ourselves according to the charter, where we've, and you'll see this is in front of you on the screen now, and how far we've got in terms of the various achievements to date, which includes the appointment of the liaison, survey of the GAC members, monthly updates, and so on. Having got through all of that, I won't read out the list to you, but we then end up with some two categories of outstanding areas of activity. One is in the day-to-day, so-called day-to-day work or day-to-day ongoing coordination between the GNSO's policy development area. And the second is the GAC early engagement in the GNSO PDP, of which we have the pilot operating the first component of that. So the question really is you know, what? How do we work from now on? Is we've just in effect added an item, which is a sort of monitoring of some of our monitoring for success, our initial efforts. And then the question seems to be is what of these additional items need to remain on the list? Is there anything that's not on the list that should be on the list? And also, do we need to carry on in two parallel tracks, or is this a sufficiently contained list that we can work as a whole group with perhaps little break-offs like we've just suggested now? Must say, I'm minded to bring the group together and work. I think we're a little small to break up into these two different areas, but let's hear any comments any of you may have on working methods and approaches. Marika, go ahead first, and I see a check mark from you, Amma, regarding the possibility of merging the two work streams. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm actually still triggered by the previous conversation. I just wanted to point out as well that as one of the outstanding items, as you know, in the general categories, and I think specifically the point that Amma made in relation to the recommendations that are currently being developed, but I think the way it's written there and derived from the charter is really indeed to agree on a follow-up mechanism and success measures on how to assess whether indeed the improvements that we've been proposing and are being implemented and may still be developed, how do we measure if they're actually successful and what are the criteria for those? So I'm hoping as well that you know, in the thinking that Amma, Carlos and Olga may be doing, that indeed that wider approach, you know, taking into account as well some of the other elements could be factored in there. And possibly also a working method for doing that, because you know, maybe specifically looking at the example of the quick look mechanism that had been given, I could, for example, imagine that if indeed the GAC would fail to form the quick look mechanism committee, it may be something that they would first like to evaluate themselves internally and determine, you know, why they weren't able to do that, and based on that evaluation, maybe come back to the group with, you know, specific ideas or suggestions on how that may, you know, factor or influence the process, or for the consultation group to further consider. So I just wanted to flag that and indeed note, just as a point of reference as well, of course, all this, what is in here, all the language in cursive is all derived from the charter, which is also posted on the wiki page. And I've pulled from there the outstanding items that were indicated at that point in time as, you know, expected deliverables from this group. Just to note as well that, of course, if there are any in there that the group believes have either already been accomplished or are no longer relevant, it is always something that can be brought up, of course, with, you know, both the GAC and the GNSO, if you believe that there are items that either are missing or that are there that are no longer relevant or belong there.
Thinking about the success criteria, then, to the extent that we develop them for the, it's really for this existing piece of work, for the pilot, that makes sense to probably develop those and then share those as a record. And in general, to, if I understand the point here, of course, in general, to make sure that we do the same for each piece of work, as highlighted, where it says, you know, agreeing on the follow-up mechanisms and success measures. What of this? Perhaps it's worth working through the scope of these. Olaf, go ahead.
Oh yeah, thank you. It's Olaf here. Just one little thought here, and this has been highlighted on previous calls by Manal, that what we haven't done is to even start to have an agreed procedure for how to proceed in cases where GAC early input is in conflict with the GNSO proposal and a mutual agreement could not be reached. It sort of begs the question whether this is something that you can do in a vacuum, or if it really is something that needs to be learned by doing whenever we have such a situation, or whether it's useful to foresee a process on how this should be handled in a way similar to when there are conflicts between the GAC advice and the ICANN board, for example. So I'm not really sure whether it's useful to more than outline such a procedure without having a real case to test it on. So just a comment on one of the points, which is clearly from the charter an outstanding matter to address. Thanks.
Thanks, Olaf. That's an interesting point. Can you clarify? You said you made a last phrase there with reference to the charter. Is that something that is referenced in the charter?
Yes, it is. And it's part of the objectives, which bullet three under objectives.
Ah, good point. Yeah, okay. And that's not strictly resolved in any sense or proposed to be resolved under the outstanding work so far. Right, well, it sparked a few hands coming up, so let me go first to Marika and then the queue of Amma and Avri. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. On that specific point, at least from my perspective, I think that is possibly something that, you know, when we, you know, once we've worked through the other stages of the PDP and we have made clear what possible other engagement steps are throughout the PDP, I think then eventually we'll land up, you know, land at the phase where it's, you know, the GNSO Council that will, you know, adopt recommendations. And I think at that point it would also be very clear whether something, you know, the GAC may have made a specific advice on something. And I guess in that case, you know, having gone through all those steps, my thinking is that we probably could, you know, foresee some kind of you know, guidance then on what should happen. And, you know, if, you know, for example, you know, the council or the report should document all the ways in which, you know, the GAC advice or input has been considered, you know, rationale for why, you know, the working group did not agree with the GAC input. There could also, for example, be a mechanism whereby, you know, the council advises the GAC that, you know, they are going to adopt the recommendations and, you know, even though they may be contrary to GAC advice, but for these and these reasons, or possibly ask a working group, you know, to reconsider if there is, you know, after dialogue with the GAC, you know, new information or new indication. So I think there are ways that it may not be a, you know, one size fits all, but I think there, as we work our way through the different stages of the PDP and identify other engagement opportunities or things that we may want to explore or add, that could possibly also address indeed those cases whereby even after all, having done all that to make sure, you know, there's early engagement, there still may be situations whereby there is disagreement between the two groups, and there may be a kind of a process that would then be triggered either as a kind of, you know, courtesy to each other, or even if, and that would be probably more in the case of engaging with the board on that, would be as well, you know, should something happen, you know, before recommendations get to the board, if indeed it's really obvious that GAC advice differs from GNSO policy recommendations on a certain topic, which, of course, we're hoping that won't be the case once we have all these early engagement mechanisms in place, as that hopefully will encourage dialogue and mutual understanding and as well consensus around approaches to certain issues.
So just to be clear, Marika, as opposed to dealing with it now, your suggestion is we work our way through the rest of the list and then come back to this point at a later date?
Correct.
Yeah, but in effect, then, it should probably be considered still outstanding and it's an objective which has yet to be met. But, okay. Avri?
Apologies, it took me a while to get to the mute button. I think I have a almost completely opposite take on it than Marika, which has me feeling very uneasy that I may be in squishy ground. But in any case, I think that as opposed to waiting until the end, that dealing with these areas that seem to be, and of course it won't be in conflict yet, but seem to be contentious issues early becomes important. If we sort of say, oh, okay, we've noticed at this early stage that we have a difference. Okay, noted. But if we indeed have some sub-processes or some method inside each of these stages to try and it's not that we can ensure it. It's not even that the early look opinions we get are indeed what the consensus in the GAC will end up. But if we have indications at each stage, it seems we should have some methodology for trying to understand them, iron them out then. One of the reasons we're trying to do early looks is so that in that early look, and when someone does an early look, they may see things in a different way, that if you can do something about that at that point in time, you might be able to avoid getting to the contention point. So, and obviously, though, at the end of all the stages, Marika's right, if we get to all the end of the stages and are still in some kind of disagreement, then a step is also needed. And indeed agreeing that, you know, it is not a one-size-fits-all because each process is different and the method for ironing out a difference may be different. So I'm not sure that we don't need to look at it as an integral part of every stage as opposed to just as an end stage. Thanks.
So I'll just say, Avery, that I'm not sure these two are in conflict because we could look at it at every stage, how to deal with it, but only work on the mechanism to deal with it at every stage once we've worked out each of the stages. Because at the moment we're only at the first stage of the PDP, and the question is whether it goes back to Olaf's point of whether it's a little theoretical at this stage. So let's hear from Amma and others in the queue on this and then see where we get to. Amma, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Sommer. I took my hand down for a minute because I felt that Marika was more or less covering what I wanted to say. But actually, it sort of developed a question in my head. We're still talking about the issue scoping phase, so we're not talking about the part of the PDP that requires actually discussing policy issues and potentially developing conflicting opinions on what certain policies are. So what we're actually talking about at this stage is just scoping the issue and trying to figure out what the different interests in a specific issue may be. And my question is this, that I've always assumed that this is not necessarily a phase where contention may be an issue, because when someone raises a topic pertinent to a certain policy process and saying, please take this into consideration, is this something normally that another group or another SOAC or even stakeholder groups within the GNSO would say, no, we should not take this into consideration when addressing this issue? So that's sort of my question, I guess, sort of get a feel for why there may be conflict at this stage of the PDP between the GNSO and the GAC. Also, keeping in mind that part of this phase includes, at least what we're proposing in this phase, is part of it includes looking at previous GAC advice submitted to the ICANN board and taking that into account when scoping issues, even before the GNSO liaison to the GAC presents it to the GAC for a look, and possibly launching a quick look mechanism, the committee's formation. And also just to clarify, when dealing with GAC advice, I'm assuming that's the only context at this phase that we deal with GAC advice. Any other interaction between the GAC and the GNSO throughout the future parts of this process would hopefully involve early engagement of the GAC with the GNSO before advice is even considered to be submitted to the board on a specific policy that is yet being developed. So that's just what I wanted to add. Thanks.
Summer, and I'll note there's an ongoing sort of dialogue or discussion comment in the chat relating to the fact that, you know, the GAC may take early disagreement or indeed see it as an issue of potential scope or not within the remit of the GNSO to address. So notwithstanding the fact that we are initially looking at the very, very early stages, the scoping of the PDP, it's possible that there may still be an interest in input that is counter to where the GNSO might be going. Olga?
Hello, sorry, I was on mute. I was talking to myself. I think that both processes, what Marika explained and what Ari suggested, are both valuable and both can complement themselves. The every stage approach that Ari explained, I think it has a lot of value. There are usually disagreements. And the value of an early stage interaction is that both parties can understand the reasons why the other is not agreeing. One issue I think is the value of this group is the GAC has a lot of luckily we have a lot of developing countries members of the GAC, and so the challenge that we have as chair and vice chairs in the GAC is to engage them in all the processes that we are revising and participating in, and this is a challenge of those of us from GAC in the group. And the GNSO has participation from developing countries, but also has a strong participation from companies from developed countries. So the perspectives will be always different. So this is the key issue in trying to bring information to those, to the GAC and the GNSO, to both parties can understand the reasons why. And that will diminish a lot of conflicts and disagreements. Maybe others can stay, but at least both parties will have the full information and the full picture about what is going on and what may happen.
Thanks, Ogun. I think there's an attempt to capture that by Marika in the notes, recognition that early exchange of information and understanding is required. Go ahead, Olaf.
Thank you, Olaf, here. And I think I'm in violent agreement with all, because, of course, there will be mechanisms and attempts to iron out the differences. I think what made me a little bouncing a little was this, the literally, as it's expressed, when GAC early input is in conflict with the GNSO proposal and a mutual agreement could not be reached. Of course, we attempt to reach a mutual agreement, and I think the focus should be on that rather than to develop a process for what will happen next, because then we have no agreement, and, well, I was tempted to suggest to put that to a later stage, and I think that was exactly what Marika suggested. But of course, there should be all efforts focused on ironing out the differences and to reach a mutual agreement. So just to clarify what I intended previously. Thank you.
Yeah, that's helpful clarification, Olaf, but it's notwithstanding that the discussion has been useful to go through. So, understood. Let me go straight on to the queue then. Amar?
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Amar again. Just also a clarifying question on my part. During the issue scoping phase, there is a public comment period between the initial, the preliminary issue report and the final one. And then the final one is eventually voted on by the GNSO Council in the event that it's a GNSO Council-initiated PDP and not a board-initiated PDP. But at this stage, all the work is actually done by staff. Isn't that correct? So would this actually be a disagreement or a sort of a conflict point between the GAC and the GNSO? Or would the staff, or would ICANN policy staff be managing the process at this point, and would it be staff that needs to take GAC input into consideration? I'm just a little unclear on the different roles of the different parties at this point. Thanks.
That's a good point, and Marika will attempt to respond to that. Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. At this stage, it is foreseen that the only thing that would happen as a result of the quick look committee would be a kind of, you know, we're interested in this issue, we may be interested in the issue, we're not really interested in this issue at this stage. So we don't foresee that it would specifically, you know, provide input on the scope, which, you know, of course is more than welcome. Like, you know, anyone can provide that input. And the way it currently works is that the comments that are received as part of the public comment forum, if they go to the nature of the issue report, you know, did we miss anything, did we get anything wrong, you know, are there specific suggestions on, for example, the preliminary charter, or the draft charter, will, you know, make those changes, you know, reflect those as well in the summary of comments, and also pass, you know, the rest of the comments on to the council together with the issue report. You know, so should the council believe that we've missed something, or you know, often comments that are submitted are more relevant to the actual working group than the issue report. So what we often do as well is make sure to make reference to the comments received as a working group starts, to make sure that that isn't lost. So in short, you know, we would just look at what the GAC would provide and capture it in the final issue report. Anything else that goes, you know, beyond that is also provided to the council, of course. So should there be any kind of input where you know, the GAC, for example, has concerns over the scope of the PDP, that is something that, you know, we would definitely flag so that the council could consider that as they discuss the initiation of the PDP. And, of course, there's also the charter drafting team that may be formed. You know, if issues arise or people believe more work should be done on the charter, again, I think that's where maybe, you know, Avery's point would come in. You know, should the GAC raise specific issue or concerns about the charter, maybe then, you know, an option would be to say, okay, in that case, a charter drafting team is formed and a specific invitation goes out to the GAC to make sure that they are aware and invited to participate, as, you know, those drafting teams are always open to anyone interested. So they, again, have an opportunity there to be involved in that process and make their voices heard, and hopefully their concerns are able to be addressed as part of that effort. I think that's a bit how that may work in practice.
Thanks, Marika. And then just to Amma's point on the charter drafting, I don't know if you touched on it, but the fact that under the PDP improvements, the charter, a draft charter may be prepared by staff as part of the issue report, and the council has the option then to commission a drafting team or accept the charter as proposed by staff. Carlos, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. This is Carlos speaking. I like the words that Marika used in the last round. I think we should take note that what we are doing here is flagging some issues, and that will bring about harder work, either for the scoping or for the next stages, meaning we need better arguments. We need maybe a narrower definition of the charter or of the issues at stake. But in no way are we trying to avoid or to preempt the decision level. I mean, if the GNSO brings something to the board, well, they should be aware that the GAC worries a lot about that. They should be aware that a negative advice may come with it. But in no way are we going to solve this issue. It's for the board to decide in the end. I mean, we don't want to preempt the level where the board and the GAC have their discussions on very high level issues. So I look forward for the next steps, because we have to keep it practical and narrow, and just, I see it as an incentive for better policy work, taking into account more issues, developing better arguments, but it's not our task, or it's not the idea of this whole exercise to avoid conflicts at the GAC board level. Thank you.
Well, I sort of, it's a yes and no. I mean, I think ideally we wash things out through this process. And if I think the important point that I've understood from the GAC's side of things is that they don't want this to be a mechanism by which they lose that bylaw enshrined right to provide GAC advice, and this shouldn't preclude contrary GAC advice being given. But providing participants participate in good faith, it's all our intention that it would resolve things ahead of time. We've got somewhat distracted. I'm concerned that it's 10-2. This is a very useful discussion. It helps warm us up, really, and get back into the whole issue and how we're working. So I think it's been very, very useful to go through it, and for me, I feel, and I hope for others as well. But the primary purpose of this agenda item, I mean, there's this point that's been raised about how we do deal with the cases where GAC early input may be in conflict with the GNSO proposals. But our key purpose here was to look at the draft work plan that had been prepared for us and to start to think about the scope of the remaining work, which, of course, we are reminded will include how to deal with advice that or input that contradicts the work. The other items in the scope, I mean, so let me just come back to that question. I think I got an initial sense that that the group was receptive to merging these two sets of three bullets under outstanding items, the day-to-day cooperation and the early engagement. So I'll first ask that question and make sure that there is that is acceptable or if there are any counterpoints to that. Thanks for your support there, Carlos. And Amma, I noted you seemed to be supportive earlier. So provisionally, I think that should be our intention, is to work through these as a committee of the whole, if you like, as a group. Second point is to recognize that there is a schedule of meetings which envisages five ahead of the Buenos Aires meeting, including one relatively shortly prior to that. So schedule is 24th March, 14th April, 5th May, 26th May, 16th June. That's five meetings. And it strikes me that what would be very useful is to flesh out those with a provisional work plan. So that's page 3 of your document that Marika assisted or in fact prepared. So is everyone happy with that frequency of meetings? Should we be meeting more or less frequently? Is that schedule and the timing okay as an ongoing mechanism? I'm going to take that you'll let me know if you have any concerns, and I'm going to work on the assumption that it is okay unless you let it be known otherwise. And then I think that the question we'll be asking ourselves next is, as we work at that approximately that frequency, is what, if anything, what's the priority order of those items to work on, I suppose? And I guess we've added, with today's meeting, at least one other item. To the list. And that's the success criteria work, which hopefully that will, Amma, Carlos and Olga will be able to make some progress. So it feels to me, Marika and Olof, like what we'll end up with is a list of items that need work on them, a little subgroups that pick them up and work on them, and perhaps an order and priority that we can evaluate on an ongoing basis to tidy up the detail in each of these items. And in so doing, we are likely to end up with some recommendations, further recommendations to take back or active in Buenos Aires or active areas of work. Marika?
This is Marika. I just wanted to note, and in relation to the first bullet under the PDP work, I think, we already developed quite some materials that could serve as a starting base there. So if helpful, I can definitely look back at what we already looked at. I know we, I think, started several flow charts So I think we may want to try to follow the model of, you know, what we did on the issue scoping and you know, see how we move that on to the next phase. I think, as everyone knows, there was already one arrow that, you know, was moving into to that next phase. So maybe that's a way we can try to structure the conversations from the different phases as well. And you know, I can work with Olaf that we look through the list and maybe make some suggestions. And again, as well, reference where rare materials are already available. So I think on some of the things we have, you know, started some work that may be relevant in moving this further along.
Yeah, that sounds very helpful. And I mean, if the productivity that it enables, having the structured work that you did previously on this, Marieke, is very, very valuable. And given everything else that's going on, as is referred to in the chat, in particular the work on the transition, that would be very helpful to us working along. Is there anything more we need to say under this review of the work plan and the way forward at this stage, given the time and given what we have covered already? I think we're clear on when the next meeting is. We're clear on some of the next steps. We're going to get some help to structure this work plan. We are going to do some work in a small group on looking at the success criteria. And that feels like a little to be getting on with. Have I missed something? Thanks. Noting in the notes that the confirmation of the next meeting on the 24th of March. Now, Marieke, it just occurs to me that's a good point, but I think I may have problems. I'm pretty sure I'm scheduled to travel to Istanbul at that time. Who else is impacted by that Istanbul meeting? Make sure there isn't a specific problem with that week. That's the CCWG is meeting on that day, the accountability group. Avery's impacted by that. Anyone else? Mason's going to be on holiday, so... Look, let's stick with that for the moment, and if Manal is not available, that might give us critical mass to think about rescheduling that for the week before or the week after. But for now, it seems to me that we are better off sticking to a schedule and attempting to work to things rather than waiting for everyone to be available for every meeting. Good. I've got one clock that's slightly slower. No, they seem about right. One is about a minute different to the other. So we're just at the top of the hour, which gives us a neat point to finish off. I'll pause for 30 seconds just to see if there's anything else. Yes, so Marieke, provisionally the meeting will continue ahead at 1400 UTC on 24th of March, subject to there being no other significant issues. Okay. Thanks, everyone. I think they're on to check. There's no more hands up. No, we're good. All right. Thanks. That's useful. Good to see you all again on the call. We'll look forward to refreshing the membership and getting on with the work that we have to do with a nice amount of time between now and Buenos Aires.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you. We now stop the recording. Good day.
Thanks. And bye.